Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
May 17th, primary election day in Pennsylvania, is quickly approaching. There are numerous candidates for the Senate. So I'm going to run down how many candidates there are. It's mind-boggling. For the Senate seat that is being vacated by Pat Toomey, 4 Democrats and 7 Republicans are on the ballot. For governor, 1 Democrat, Josh Shapiro, our current attorney general, and 9 Republicans. Lieutenant Governor Ray sees 3 Democrats and 9 Republicans. Now, Pennsylvania's 17 congressional districts has a total of 48 candidates. That took me a while to go through all those candidates because we do have a candidates list with their endorsements and such. And that's up on our website, afapa.org. But anyway, my guest today is one of those congressional candidates. My guest is Jason Kilmeyer. He's running for the 17th congressional seat that's being vacated by one of the Democrats who's running for Senate. That is Connor Lamb. So thanks, Jason, for being with us.
Diane, I'm happy to be here today with the AFA. Thanks for having me.
Yep, glad to have you. So why did you decide to run for Congress? I mean, you know, I think there's 3 Republicans in that race and 3 or 4 Democrats. I can't remember which, but we're not going to worry about the Democrats right now. But why did you decide to run for the 17th Congressional District?
Diane, the reason I decided to jump into the race was I have been increasingly worried about the future of the country. And what I tell people is our friends on the left, a lot of them essentially now believe in a different form of government.
Oh, yeah.
Let's think about the Bill of Rights. We know how they feel about the Second Amendment. Mm-hmm. Increasingly, they're against the First Amendment, want to censor speech, punish people for that speech. With the Fourth Amendment, we've seen, you know, overreach by the federal government that I think would have made J. Edgar Hoover blush.
Oh, yeah. Especially, I'm going to just throw in here. Recently, it was revealed that the CDC was actually tracking people during the lockdowns to see, you know, using your phones, your cell phones to track you to see if you actually were staying home and obeying their orders. I mean, it's ridiculous. So, yes.
Exactly. And so what I see is a left wing that is essentially rejecting the union, the terms of the union that we all agreed to come together under. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is the broader vantage point that I look at when we're having these individual arguments. It is because a significant portion of our friends and neighbors have rejected the form of government we agreed to live under. And once I came to that conclusion, I couldn't not get involved.
Yeah. Now, do you think they understand what the Constitution says? I mean, how well is our public education system doing in teaching our current, you know, rather our future leaders of this nation? How well is, you know, how well do people understand the Constitution and the founders' original intent?
Yeah. So the limited government that our government was founded under and a state monopoly on the delivery of education cannot very much longer coexist.
Yeah.
Those two things are anathema to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I tell people is it isn't only that our children are not being taught traditional American civics. It is that they are being taught explicitly an anti-American version of civics.
Yeah.
So let's think about a couple examples here. We have a left wing that rejects proportional representation in the Senate. They deny the legitimacy of the Electoral College and try to create a competing metric called the popular vote.
Mm-hmm.
They reject state legislative control over our elections. This is a wholesale rejection of the founding documents and of the very civics that we should be teaching our kids and that we agreed to live under. That's why I'm so alarmed.
I mean, just the last year, since January of last year, the assault has been, with the Democrats in control of both the House and Senate and the White House, I mean, the assault has been continual. There's never a day that goes by that they don't introduce something or say something that knows that we as a free nation really are under assault. And it is, yes, very troubling, and very troubling that our teachers, our students are being taught what's called action civics, which that's something that teaches them how to among other things, go on a protest, you know, things, well, protests like on the streets about climate change and gun control, which is, of course, attacking our Second Amendments, Second Amendment. But, yeah, the students are being taught not the civics that we were taught in school, but they're being taught how to protest against our government and really against our way of life. So it is very, very troubling.
Yeah. Yes. And what the left so hard to get religion out of schools, and what it has done is brought religion back into our schools. Mm-hmm. Their secular humanist religion is exactly that.
Yeah.
Their beliefs around, you know, if, for instance, with climate change, we just spoke about that.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't keep the earth from going exactly 1 point degrees Celsius in exactly 78 years, then it spells catastrophe.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That is a religious doctrine.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that is being taught to our children via the state.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have to do is recognize, you mentioned the different things that they try to push through. What we have to do is recognize that in the past couple of years, we just had one of the largest abrogations of civil rights in American history. The First Amendment, our right to assembly, mm-hmm. peaceable assembly, was assaulted, and our right to freedom of religion. And, yeah. and I have people tell me, they say, well, no, you were still able to pray. You could go to church on Zoom. And what I tell them is this, all around the world for millennia, not just Christians, but every major world religion, how did you practice your faith?
Yep.
Together, in mm-hmm. person, mm-hmm. on a Sabbath day with your friends and neighbors and other people of that faith. And that was banned in about 32 to 35 states in America. We're still grappling with how significant detriment that was.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that and, you know, shutting down schools. But, yeah, specifically looking at the First Amendment, the freedom of religion, freedom of assembly. We were definitely, you know, and Dr. Fauci saying, well, watch out for summer. What's going to happen again? I don't think hopefully the American public will not be, the American people will not be willing to be led around by the NIH and the CDC and folks like Dr. Fauci, who continues to be talking too much about this. But, you know, it was very troubling that the American people, I mean, we're in the middle of a pandemic. We didn't know how bad it was going to be, but it continued. And in some situations continues, and that assault, was very detrimental to the mental health of, you know, students, the older folks, and the American public. It was a negative impact on our lifestyle, on how we live. So I think it was a test as to how Americans would respond to the dictates from on high. I really think it was a test, and I'm not sure how well we did on that test.
Yeah, and I tell you, the one thing I'm optimistic about, one of the absurd outcomes of what just happened to us mm-hmm. was that parents saw and heard in their living rooms over Zoom just mm-hmm. what some of that indoctrination looked like.
Yes, that was the positive. That's very true. That is very true. There's a positive thing. Plus, there were no gay pride parades for the past 2 years. So that was another positive thing. But yeah, parents are awake now and they are saying, not with my kids, you're not. And that is very, very positive.
Have absolutely.
More running for school board and more attending school board meetings, even though the DOJ is defining them as domestic terrorists, which is very troubling. So what's your background? Why do you think you're qualified to run?
Absolutely. Diane, I am objectively the most qualified candidate in this race from either side of the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
I have a dozen years of national security experience. I worked in counterterrorism for 6 years. I helped keep terrorists from the Middle East and other parts of the world out of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I worked to keep them off of airplanes and out of the United States. From there, I actually, Diane, had a very interesting role. I helped keep elements of the U.S. federal government supply chain away from Chinese manufacturing. So our job was to help federal agencies map out their supply chains and start buying from countries other than China.
Wow.
So I have experience in actually helping bring back some of the work that we need to be doing back here in the United States and lessening our dependence on China. And then the third part that I make to folks about my background is, after all that, I saw the difference in D.C., between D.C. and the rest of the country. Mm-hmm. I saw how decadent the Capitol had become. I saw how they weaponized the government against Donald Trump. And and what I decided to do was jump into the fight. So I went up and I served as the chief operating officer of a group called Project Veritas.
So
I worked daily with James O'Keefe as his number two at that organization. And we went directly after big tech and we went directly after the mainstream media. And we proved voter fraud. So what I tell people is I have both the national security background in an era in which we see more instability around the world, but I've also put real skin in the game for conservative causes.
Wow, that's fantastic. And we need you on the southern border.
Yes. And Diane, in my campaign material, both in everything I have printed and on my website, the very top issue is to secure the border.
Yeah.
If we don't do that, we will not regain public trust.
Absolutely. And we won't have a nation if we allow millions and millions to cross the southern border with, you know, not even putting up a brick for them to stumble over or whatever. It's very troubling. I think, in fact, I know that the majority of Americans are seeing it happen. I mean, we're having plane loads of those illegal aliens being dropped off in Pennsylvania, especially in the Scranton area, with the blessing of the Scranton mayor, is my understanding. That can't happen. It is happening, but it shouldn't happen, and it needs to be stopped. The Biden administration is trying to keep all secret where they're dropping these illegals off. The people are finding out when you see these planes landing in airports at midnight or so.
And Diane, I'm glad you mentioned that, because this is actually a big part of my campaign, is I have talked about this at almost every public appearance I have made. That shuttling around of illegal aliens that the Biden administration is trying to do under dark of night, they use contractors for that. They use companies, buses, and even planes. I know the names of those contractors. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to shine a very bright light. The details of these programs are going to be available in federal acquisition records.
Okay.
And what I'm going to do is work to expose those, and then I'm going to read them out loud and enter them into the congressional record so the American people can really see what's being done in their name.
So they're federal contractors being paid by taxpayer dollars to do this.
That is exactly right. We are paying for those flights, and we are paying for those bus rides. The other thing that I'm going to do, and this is well within the purview of the legislature, is I'm going to help to introduce impeachment proceedings against the DHS secretary. If you are unwilling to perform your basic constitutional duty, you deserve to be impeached.
You say the DHS?
Yes.
Okay. So how would you, that's Health and Human Services, right? Department? No, Homeland. Oh, okay. Homeland. I'm thinking HHS.
Yes.
Okay. Department of Homeland Security. You mean the guy who said he didn't know how the SPLC attorney was hired for the misinformation or the disinformation agency that the Ministry of Truth they just created? He couldn't.
That's the one.
Okay.
That very secretary.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah, he was definitely exposed when, I think it was Josh Hawley asked, the process was to nominate or to actually put this person in place, head of that Ministry of Truth. He didn't have a very good answer, basically.
Nope. And I tell you, you know, when we think about what the DHS secretary is doing with that misinformation board. And we think about, you mentioned the CDC keeping tags on people. You think about what the ATF is doing with a gun data registry that they won't call a registry, but is really a list, whatever language they're using. Very clearly, the reality is this. The federal government is dramatically, it is dangerously, it is ahistorically out of its lane.
Until
we fix that, we will never lower the temperature. If Washington and the federal government continue to play this role, politics isn't going to get any calmer. I am afraid the reality is this: 330 million people were never meant to be ruled this centrally. And if we don't figure out how to reign in Washington, we will eventually tumble into conflict or disunion.
And we see that. We see that over, you know, the past 2 years especially. But we've seen it building up with all the radical stuff that the Democrat Party specifically comes up with. And in many cases, the lack of response from the Republican Party as the Democrats are doing this stuff. I'll just call it stuff.
Yeah, and I tell people that. I say, hey, when your protests, movements have names like Occupy and Resistance. That is not a good tiding. When 5 years ago, you mentioned this started a long time ago. Well, 5 years ago is when a Bernie Sanders supporter tried to assassinate about 8 to 10% of Republican leadership on a softball field.
Yeah, exactly.
And then twice the protests in the Capitol during Trump's term were so ferocious they thought they were coming under the fence. They had to take Trump or over the fence. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. They had to take Trump down into a bunker. We obviously know what happened in the summer of 2020.
Oh, yeah.
And so what I tell people is these are troubling signs, and the takeaway is that we need to find a way to shrink the federal government, or we will end up in civil conflict.
Yeah, actually, I know Senator Rand Paul was talking about how he and his wife were followed and yelled at when they were leaving an event at the White House during that whole time. You know, toppling statues and everything else. It was troubling then, and it continues to be troubling as they go about renaming. Can't have anything with a Confederate name on it or anything like that. It's very troubling. So, looking at the Constitution itself, I think we can both agree that Americans do not understand, really don't understand what the Constitution says. And I think every American should read the Constitution so they can understand it. So have you read the Constitution? I'll just ask you that right now. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Good. Because I think that should be a question to ask of every single candidate running for office. Have you read the Constitution? And if it's a state level, have you read the Pennsylvania Constitution? So because if they have not read those documents, they have no idea what their limitations are as an elected official, what their responsibilities are. And do you believe that, I mean, I know you don't know for sure, but do you believe that the majority of the members of the U.S. House and U.S. Senate, do you believe they've read the Constitution, the majority?
I would not bet that they have.
And if they have, they obviously don't understand it because of some of the bills that are being introduced, some of the votes that are being taken, and just some of what's happening in D.C.
And then even let me say, too, because I agree with you so much there. Not only that, but the things that we talked about that the left wants to do, these are things that would require an amendment or a convention process. The types of changes they want to make, for example, with H.R. 1, which would be a federal takeover of elections, that's changing the terms of the union.
Yep.
And in fact, we have a process for that. George Washington mentions it in his farewell address. He says, right, part of what allows the government to operate is we have the opportunity to make and amend the system that we have created. And what the left is trying to do is make these wholesale, permanent, inalterable changes, but not do it through the appropriate process.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it's very destabilizing.
Yeah. I mean, we started out with 10 amendments back, you know, shortly after the Constitution itself was ratified. We had the 10 amendments because founding fathers were concerned about the federal government overreach. So we had the 10 commandments, the Bill of Rights that was passed shortly after that. I believe December 7th, 1787, I believe was the last ratification. That was Virginia. We have since amended, you know, numerous times. I think is I can't remember the 20 some times we've amended the Constitution that way. And so the changes have been made, can be made. And that's good. So we're looking at the Constitution, looking at the Bill of Rights specifically. What one amendment do you believe is the most under assault now in today's America?
Dan, not only do I believe it is the Fourth Amendment, but I have on my website, I'd ask folks to check this out. I have specifically been declaring for months, I intend to write something called the Fourth Amendment Restoration Act. And I intend to write it before I take office on January 3rd. I believe that if we do not feel secure in our person, if we are afraid of what the FBI is doing. If we read an article like there was just one a week or so ago about a new potential domestic surveillance program that the CIA was abusing, uncovered by two senators, and I think there's going to be more info on that. If we don't feel good coming through TSA for the ability to travel after we get patted down and told to do all these things, we have kids who make jokes about what their FBI agent thinks of their internet searches. This state cannot continue.
We're becoming
there
China.
There is a dramatic imbalance, and it is creating a power differential between the federal government and the American citizens. It is imperative that we reset that and we put the American people back in a position of power. And so I intend to write a law that specifically codifies limitations to what any of these executive branch agencies can do and reaffirms the primacy of the Fourth Amendment across the operations of the federal government.
And I would encourage our listeners, if they don't know what the Fourth Amendment is, look it up, because that's very, very important. You know, most of the time we think of the First Amendment or the Second Amendment, which are very important. You know, the First Amendment has five different issues that we're protected under. But the Second Amendment, of course, is the right to bear arms, keep and bear arms. But the Fourth Amendment is, that encompasses our very life. And whether you have a gun or whether you are religious or whatever, the Fourth Amendment is going to impact you. If that is infringed upon, that's the Fourth Amendment would definitely impact every single American, no matter what they believe or whether they have a gun or whatever.
So Amen. And think about it this way. We just talked about the DHS, quote unquote, misinformation governance board, right?
Yeah.
Well, that is going to use information from our social media accounts. And a lot of people say that's public. Well, no, in fact, it's not public. It is posted on private sector platforms.
Mm-hmm.
We're told they're private sector platforms by the left all the time when they want to censor us on them.
Yeah.
And so what I tell people is, who gives the federal government the right to scour our social media posts to look for evidence of disinformation? And what records might they keep in those searches?
And misinformation, misinformation, according to their definition of misinformation. I mean, look at what happened with COVID and ivermectin and those medications that have been proven, that they work when it comes to COVID, but yet, no, we can't have anything like that. So anyway, the election is coming up. Everyone needs to go to the polls on the 17th. I encourage you to do that. Don't trust the mail to get your unconstitutional mail-in ballots. Don't even, my book, mail-in ballots, no excuse, mail-in ballots are unconstitutional. Article 7, Section 14A of the PA Constitution says you have to have an excuse to get an absentee ballot. So go to the polls.
It certainly does.
Yeah. I appreciate your time, Jason. 17th, the congressional district is a tough one because it has, I'm not sure. Yeah, it was redrawn with Pennsylvania this year, redrawn with the Pennsylvania Supreme Court.
They did redraw it. And what I'll say is the two Democrats who are running to take Connor Lamb's seat, they do not even pretend to be moderates. And I believe I am, quite frankly, the best qualified of all the candidates. And I humbly ask folks to give me a look.
Okay. Yeah, I looked at, like I said, all 48 websites of all 48 candidates. And yeah, the Democrats are very proud of their left-leaning, no matter which district they're in. There was no question about that. But anyway, thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it. And you take care.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you, AFA.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFA of PA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afaofpa.org.